I will be reading two passages from The Love Wife. The first one is on pages 155 to 156, and the second is on page 202. The passage on 155 opens with Blondie speaking. Actually, our baby's name was Ellison. Ellison Bailey Wong. But we called him Bailey after my family. And that was perfectly all right. More than all right, really. Here in this area of spaces, I can confess that I loved it more than I would have said that my genes were not swallowed up by Carnegie's. I had assumed that they would be somehow. That dark would trump fair, a reasonable assumption given what I knew from paint boxes and markers. But that was wrong, and I was surprised what it meant to me not to find my blood, my side, myself drowned out. Some would say that the point of raising children is, of course, self-replication. How hopelessly idealistic to imagine love and values might count more than genes. But truly I did. I was honestly chagrined to find in this child anything like a new order experience. And yet, to have held his soft skull as it emerged from my body, to have felt him tugging at my breast, to have ached for him in turn, sleeping when he slept. What a unit we were. I had never known anything like it. I watched him in a different way than I had watched the girls. Maybe I would have seen him more clearly anyway, having watched other children grow up, being more practiced, better understanding his wants, for example. I saw how, even at 4 or 5 months, he pushed others away from my breasts, something I might not have caught in Lizzie or Wendy, even if I had nursed them. But I watched Bailey for bits of Carnegie and myself and our families. That was new. He looked like me. He had Carnegie's tilt eyes and bridgeless nose and perfect ears. From birth, though, he had my light hair, and for a while, my blue eyes. Things that somehow mattered more. He was left-handed like my father, and like my father, from birth a full sail. The more I looked at him, the more I saw bits of my grandparents and parents, and all my brothers and sisters. Of course, he was Carnegie's son, too, so no one forgot that. And we completely loved the girls just the same. Carnegie. Most people didn't notice he was soup du jour. The people who noticed, though, did a double take, some of them, thinking he meant something. But what? The future, most of them would have said, probably. The kindest way of putting their thoughts. No one except for me would have said, the disappearing past. I looked forward to doing guy stuff with Bailey, building forts, shooting baskets, rooting for the Red Sox. I worried about the usual things, that he would turn out a drug dealer, a bozo, a stiff. But I also worried that he would marry a white woman like his daddy. I worried that no one in the delivery room would even be shocked if his child was born blonde. Blondie. I held him closest because he would let me. And because, of all our children, he seemed the most vulnerable. The girls had had their share of unwanted attention, but Bailey, people peered at sideways, as if it was one thing to be kind of Asian, like Lizzie, and another to be kind of white. This is what's happening, said a lady at the mall to her friend. I'm telling you. And said our dear neighbor Mitchell one day. When I look at that boy, all I can think of is this the new face of America? My second passage is on page 202, in which Blondie is having an internet conversation with her friend Gabriella. She begins describing a conversation that she earlier had with Carnegie. Our family will always be our family, he reassured me. Will it? And you will always be my Blondie. We made love that night, and again at dawn, having fallen asleep naked, without brushing our teeth, curled up together like newlyweds. We were, miraculously for our age, not tired. Still, we kissed ourselves back to sleep for a while before the alarm rang. How loudly! And in the bathroom mirror, there we were, flushed rose still. How mottled I, how even-toned he. Happy. Was this not love? Our family will always be our family. I thought of his words some months later as I emailed Gabriella. The girls are no longer quite mine. And why do you say that? She replied. Last night, Wendy said, Lan Lan is like us. She just is. I can't explain it. Lan Lan understands everything, even if you don't tell her. She can read our minds. And Lizzie? Lizzie says she honestly would not be surprised to find out Lan was her real mother. Lan Lan gets things, she says. Like she always asks what the other kids think, and doesn't say, like, why do you care? Plus, she knows a fake when she sees one. I can see why you're worried.